on News Talk 1340 KWLM.
Good morning. Todd Brigeth with you this morning, filling in for Billy. I had to take off a little bit early. So my first chance to ask the experts here this morning on The Morning Brew. And joining us are partners with Christensen and Associates, Joel Gratz. Good morning, Joel.
How you doing, Todd?
Very good. And Bradley Peterson. Hi, Bradley.
Hi, Todd. How's it going?
Good. Well, you know, it is the political season.
It is. We're getting crazy today.
Yeah. There's varying, widely varying tax plans from our presidential candidates. And it would be great if people knew a little more about those plans, because I think that many people, they see the headlines, which oftentimes are promoted by the opposing political party about this candidate, you know, their tax plan is a little more radical than this one. So you're just here to lay it out in black and white and let people know what their taxes could look like if each presidential candidate is able to get their tax plan through.
Well, Todd, yeah, we're here not to endorse any particular candidate or a particular plan. And as you mentioned, there's quite a range in what they're proposing. We also acknowledge that it takes more than one president, if you will, to pass tax law. It takes the whole team to do it, of course. Mm-hmm. So take that with a grain of salt. And there's a lot of things that we're not going to have time to cover. We won't get into a lot of detail, right, Bradley? We're just going to try to do 10,000 feet. And if we do start leaning one way or the other, we apologize. You know, we are tax accountants.
I'll kick you underneath the table. So.
That'd be good. So, yeah, that's really what we're going to do today, just to kind of, you know, end on our great note. This is our last session for the year. Mm-hmm. Until the fall, and I just thought, you know, everybody's tired of talking about just tax itself, and mm-hmm. it is pretty hot right now at the with the arena we have and different mm-hmm. things, and so we thought it'd be a neat topic, and I knew I couldn't do it alone. My best friend and partner Bradley's here, and we're gonna make it pretty interesting. I think we're gonna start with former Secretary of State Clinton.
Okay.
Yes. And again, Bradley's going to do that not because he's leaning Democratic necessarily or Republican, but again, we did the old flip of the coin and you got that nod. So.
Sure. I thought it was rock, paper, scissors.
So. We did that too later, but knock it out.
Yeah, and her tax plan, it's not a radical change for what we're seeing right now.
No, truly. She's basically a continuation of some of the Obama policies that have been in mm-hmm. place for a number of years. She does have interest in raising taxes on the high-income earners. You know, she's very adamant about protecting the multinational corporations. You know, I would judge kind of her tax plan as closing a lot of loopholes. Mm-hmm. You know, these loopholes that have been around for a number of years that certainly get a lot of publicity in the news, talking about multinational corporations. You know, these inversions. You know, they talk about Pfizer with what's the Allergan?
Yeah,
mm-hmm. the Irish company, mm-hmm. where, you know, again, save a bunch of taxes for Pfizer, but again, it takes the taxes out of the U.S. economy. So mm-hmm. she's looking to clear up a lot of those things. You know, on an individual basis, she is for the Buffett rule, which is basically the 30% tax on the adjusted gross income over $1 million. So she is a proponent of that. I think that's, you know, that's pretty much across the board for a number of candidates here.
So maybe explain that quickly. You call it the Buffett rule, yep. Based on what Warren Buffett had proposed about a year ago, isn't it?
I think it was 2011 when it first came out.
A long time ago then.
And then, the Warren Buffett rule basically says that, you know, the high-income earners should be paying the bulk of the taxes. Hillary Clinton wants to take it one step further. Sorry about that.
First name basis, of course, Bradley and Hillary.
Yes. I got my Christmas card this year. Did you get one?
I did not. I did not, I'll be honest.
Must have lost that in the mail. Anyway, she also wants to enact basically a minimum tax, 30% minimum tax for taxpayers that earn over $2 million. Mm. So basically, they just want to make sure that the highest income earners are paying their fair share of taxes. Good part is that she has campaigned that she's looking to provide a middle-class tax cut. I got a question for you.
Sure.
Any idea what what she considers middle-class?
A dollar amount.
A dollar amount.
I would say probably for a family of four we're talking, or
we're
for
talking
an individual?
Married filing jointly, probably.
Middle-class would probably be between $50,000 and $100,000.
How about $250,000? That's in the 95 percentile.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's middle class.
That's
by her definition.
I would love to be in that middle class.
Wouldn't we all?
Yeah. I think we're all pretty safe right now.
Yeah.
So.
My guess is that we're, you know, what would you guys consider middle class in the United States? Where is the middle part of tax earners in the United States?
If you look at our practice, if you want to define what we have for volume of from the lowest to the highest, I would call middle class about the 150.
Yeah.
Okay. 150 to maybe 200 at the highest, wouldn't you say, Bradley?
Yep.
That includes self-employed people, includes W-2 earners. And again, I'm not saying our practice is the center of the universe, but it's about the best I got. And I would say between the 150, 175 is what I would define probably as the middle class, 100 to 150. I don't know, somewhere there. Good question.
All right.
Great question.
Yeah.
She also talks about capital gains. She, you know, again, the current rates of 0 to 20%.
Mm-hmm.
She's looking at increasing that to 23.8 to 43.4.
Mm-hmm.
Again, those are bigger numbers. Could be expensive. And then if we look at estate tax, I know Joel has talked about estate tax a lot in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Reducing the threshold from the, you know, 5.43 graduated rate to bringing it down to $3.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
So that's quite a substantial decrease in that estate.
And from $5 million, right?
From 5.4, yeah.
5.4, okay.
So you're talking bringing a lot more taxpayers into that subject to estate tax.
Mm-hmm.
Again, she wants to increase the tax rate to 45% from 40%. So again, those are some major things. And again, on the business side, she's just looking to, you know, again, patch some holes, get rid of those tax inversions.
How about the overall corporate rate of 35%, which is quite high?
She actually has intentions of maintaining that. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't necessarily say that the
status
needs
quo
to change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, there's been a lot of regulations come in the last week, too, from the present administration to keep those monies from going overseas by punishing them with regulations.
Yeah, so. And there's a lot of good and bads with that, too. Mm-hmm. You hate to take away some of the flexibility that our corporations have, but it just doesn't feel right, does it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'll be honest, generally speaking. So there's got to be, I think, some more tightening of the loopholes somewhere without limiting them completely. So I don't know. That's as far as I want to get.
Provisions that are going to affect that. So.
All right,
yeah.
let's move on to Ted Cruz.
Ted Cruz, Mr. Cruz, Senator Cruz, he's got something that he's outlined that's very dramatically different. You know, so dramatic that it'll be hard to change. Obviously, probably during one term, he's got the repeal word on a lot of things, and he would repeal corporate income tax. He would repeal payroll taxes, which include your Social Security and Medicare tax, as well as the estate and gift taxes. Repeal it all.
Mm-hmm.
That's several trillion dollars of tax savings right there, which means without having budget cuts of some sort, we're going to go into a massive, you know, deficit very quickly, which he's proposing that we got to bring the responsibility down, obviously, to the taxpayer and quit paying. You know, he's obviously for less government versus more, which is obviously very Republican, obviously, generally speaking, and put the responsibility on the taxpayer. And he's really going to propose a flat 10% tax, general, you know, on basically everybody. And then there's also a value-added tax on businesses beyond, you know, because he's repealing the corporate income tax.
Mm-hmm.
So really, it's kind of a consumption tax is what he's shooting for, almost like a sales tax. If you buy
like
it, you
a national
pay it.
Sales tax.
Mm-hmm. Right. And by doing that, they're estimating, again, a lot of our information that Brad and I have is from the Tax Policy Center. We don't do the math on this. So, they're talking this would be an $8.6 trillion reduction in revenue, which means at least that much would have to come out of the government, you know, somewhere with programs. Obviously, he's not a huge proponent of the ACA. You know, he'd want a lot of that stuff taken. But his bottom line is he's trying to promote incentives to work, incentives to save, and to invest, and try to keep interest rates, you know, about where they're at. That's kind of the bottom line of that. But from an individual taxpayer, the highest rate now is 39.6. It would go to a flat 10, again, for everybody. Whether or not you make $2 million or if you make, you know, $10,000, it's going to be 10%. So if you just do the math, the folks in the bottom brackets are going to see the least amount of change.
Mm-hmm.
So their burden's going to be about the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, one of the negatives to this, if I can be devil's advocate, is, well, the rich are going to get richer because they got less tax to pay. But his theory is, well, they're also the folks in the businesses, and they're the folks that are going to have this additional, value-added tax or this business consumption tax is what I believe he's thinking. And again, he's not here to defend himself, but that I think that's the pros and cons that he has. So simplification is what he's trying to go for. A lot of the itemized deductions he's going to remove because it's a flat tax, which means if you're a nonprofit organization that relies upon the big hitters for getting a big deduction or itemized, for charitable donations, that's going to be gone. Mm-hmm. So that's the negative side of that that could hurt things. The repeal of the payroll taxes, where's our Social Security going to be? That's already in question. If that revenue goes away, how is that going to be funded? And I really don't have the answer to that right now. But those are some of the things he has. Again, probably the biggest thing is just repealing the corporate tax completely. You mentioned 35%. It'd be gone. But the value-added tax is about 10%, of what you would, consume. And he's got a formula on how that would work. So it's going to generate less revenue by far, but it's dramatically different. He's even made it so far as known that he thinks we should abolish the IRS, the entire organization. Not that Brett and I enjoy the IRS by any means, but we need some kind of agency to manage this, and to think that you can cut government and then just kind of have it deposited to a safe deposit box somewhere and someone's going to distribute it appropriately is probably not hugely, realistic.
Even on the Republican side, it's been said it's unrealistic what he is proposing. Yeah. And I think, honestly, as a conservative, he understands that. But he's speaking to the base. Governing is usually completely different than campaigning.
Right. Yeah. Right. And again, you raise a good point. Whatever they're saying today will probably never be enacted. It'll never actually be what he or she will propose, probably, but right. It gives you a glimpse of what their paradigm, their mindset is, and kind of what their overall general philosophy is. So it's interesting to go into this stuff, and a lot of folks, like you said, don't really pay attention to the tax stuff.
It's hard, and it's guys like you that understand and maybe have a better idea of what that would mean for the public, whereas somebody such as myself, who is not schooled in huge numbers in particular, I understand a little bit, but not certainly like you guys do, which is good to have you along. All right, who gets to do Donald Trump?
I get Donald Trump.
All right.
That's an interesting character.
You say that with the enthusiasm.
He's quite a character.
Yeah, he is. No question.
He's doing stuff that people haven't done before with his campaign.
Yep.
Do I wish he could tame it down some? Absolutely.
He's a character.
But quite honestly, it's let's make a deal. I think there's something for everybody with Donald Trump. He wants to cut taxes for everyone, individuals, businesses, richest, poorest. He wants to basically make, about a $10 trillion reduction in taxes over his decade. Mm. And based on that, obviously, we're expecting massive cuts and probably corresponding increases in the national debt.
So that being said, though, he believes that cutting tax on business, that they would reinvest that money and that there would be more revenue generated because people have more money in their pocket through other means.
Absolutely. Correct. That's the very Republican, quote, way.
Yep. Right.
I agree.
As Joel mentioned, it's incentivized working, saving, and investing. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly what he's trying to do. But unfortunately, the people that receive the most benefit under Trump's policies would be the very high-income earners. Mm-hmm. The top brackets, 39.6%, they'd cut them down to 25%. Mm-hmm. So again, that's a massive 14.6% decrease.
By percent and dollars.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
By percent and dollars. So yeah, that's... Yeah. But, you had mentioned, Bradley...
Definitely.
Everybody does get a tax cut. So of all the ones that I've read and looked at, everybody gets the most benefit, generally speaking, relatively speaking, as to how much tax I pay or percent in Trump's plan. Mm-hmm. But he's also one that creates the largest deficit the fastest. Mm-hmm. So, sorry, I mean
a joke. In theory, we believe that would create the largest deficit. I mean, to take paddles from a dying patient and pump them, you don't know what would happen.
That's a great point. Sorry, I didn't mean to make it sound like it was the worst thing in the world, but I mean, just... And that's why we have three of us here today to talk through it. This is great.
Well, you guys from the analytical side and me from the political side a little more, I'm guessing.
And you can do that. That's okay.
Okay. Unfortunately, we're almost we're running out of time here. So finish up with Trump quickly and then little...
Repeal. Yeah. Basically, no estate tax, no AMT, business income tax is reduced. He's giving it all to everybody.
Yeah.
And so that's what his final...
And Bernie Sanders is taking it all from everybody.
That's a great segue, and I get to do Bernie Sanders. And again, this is very different, very changing from what we have today. It's going to be the hardest hit for the highest income earners. He wants to give from the rich and you know, or take from the rich, give to the not as rich, if I could use that term. I want to say poor.
What's that? Robin Hood.
It's basically Robin Hood, which is not a bad thing. He wants to expand social programs, and that's where Bernie's plan is hard to quantify in that it's humongously full of new taxes. I mean, it'll take me the rest of the day here to talk about what his plan is per se. Heavy tax orientated, mostly on the greater than 200,000, back to that middle class deal. Those folks are going to be the hardest hit, and the W-2 earners and all that. But you're going to have your health care paid for, no medical bills to pay, your college is going to be paid for, you know, so you have to, it's hard to know back to putting the jumper, you know, the cables on the dead American economy, if you will. It's hard to know. But just as a point of reference, the highest bracket that Bernie has is 30.2%, which seems reasonable when you first think about it. So just as a case in point, during the Reagan administration when it started, which is in 81, the top rate, which I didn't know, was 70%. That was at a point, of course, where I didn't pay taxes. I was still a wee lad in elementary school, but I didn't realize it was that near future, near past, I should say, that had the high tax. And when the 1986 Reform Act came, which is what Brett and I have been using and living with in our practice ever since, dropped it at that point to 50%, and the highest bracket being at $380,000 in today's dollars. And in perspective, as we sit today, the highest bracket is $450,000. At 39.6. So just perspective, and I was trying to be fair to Senator Sanders here and just say, you know, hey, it's a big number, but his overall rate on the income tax side is not that high. Now, he's huge on surtax. Surtax means it's always an add-on. So we start with the first four brackets are going to be identical in his plan we've got today. So those folks below the 200,000 will probably not have a very big impact. Okay. As you get higher than that, you start having some massive surtaxes. I call them massive because if you start making over 200,000, your surtax will be another 9%. So if you're at 28%, you're already at 37%. Now, the surtax, he's doing it tricky, see? He says his top rate is 30%. But that's not including the surtax. When you add the surtax, now I'm at 37%. Before I was at 25. So it's crazy. The highest surtax is 24%, which is above 10 million. So he's definitely want to take from the rich, you know, and should they pay more? Yes or no? I'm not going to get into the argument today, but that's there. There's also a new 2.2% surtax on all taxable income he's proposing. $10,000, 100 million. So that's on top of these other surtaxes, and he keeps stacking this stuff up, and I know we're running out of time, but when it comes to payroll taxes on employers, he wants another 6.2% Social Security and Medicare tax. 6.2% on the employer, not the employee.
Now we know how that works.
We're taking pause, right, because we're all like, wow, that's a big number. That means job creation, in my opinion, is going to come to a screeching halt for a period of time, we think. I don't know.
And raises in your income.
Right.
Because of that, because the employer looks at it as, I just gave you a 6.2% raise.
Yep. It really throws the whole thing off. If you know, the whole center of the universe becomes unique at this point. Estate tax, he wants to back down the exemption to $3.5 million, and he wants the highest bracket to be 55%, which now it's at 40. And this is a tax that people hate. They've worked their entire life and they've already paid tax on it, and we pay tax again. That'd be a tough one to sell. And if your estate's over $500 million, there's another 10%. So you'd have to give 65% of it back when you died. Is that right or wrong? I'm not here to say whether it is or not. So those are the things that really impact the individual on the business side. We already talked about the 6.2% on the wages. There's a new carbon tax, meaning anything that's not environmentally friendly. Humongous tax, $15 per ton of carbon dioxide. That's a new tax. The Affordable Care Act tax, he wants to add another 6.2%. Right now it's 3.8. That's how we're paying for the ACA. So it'd be a 10% tax on that. And I realize my tone of voice has changed now because it's like, I almost can't believe these numbers, but
to his credit.
Okay, here we go.
He's honest about it.
He is.
He says, I am going to tax and tax. At least he's straightforward about it. But new taxation, new things that comes from Congress.
Yeah, right? So it's going to be a huge hurdle to get through the House unless things dramatically change.
Yeah.
And if a Democratic president's in, you know, and they take over the House, I'm going to probably move. But anyway, it's going to be scary. It's going to be scary. But again, that's why we have checks and balances.
Yeah.
And that's why we're the greatest country in the world, and that's why we have it.
I'll be in your trunk. Don't mind the kicking on
all
the
right.
door.
You know, very good. You can actually sit in the back if you want. You have to be in the trunk. So I think that, you know, again, I'm not missing anything, Bradley, or, you know, on the Sanders campaign, but...
They all have their own plans because they know that talking about people's money that they're going to have in their pockets gets their attention.
It does. And that's where Bernie starts.
Yep.
I want to make sure I give back to the guys who need it and gals who need it. And that's a hard one to take sometimes.
Yep.
And as a self-employed person, as Bradley and I are, you know, that 6.2% on wages alone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's and in the higher brackets and the middle class being only at $200,000 for Bernie versus even $250,000 for Hillary.
Yeah.
Again, first name basis. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be disrespectful, but
well, that's what she uses in her campaign.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Her campaign sign.
So yeah, it was very interesting, and Bradley, I appreciate you coming with. I couldn't have did it without you for
sure.
And Todd, you did a great job. Also, how are we doing on time?
We're out of time.
Oh, we are out of time.
Yes.
Oh my
bummer,
gosh.
Okay. Fellas. Thank you so much for coming in.
Yes.
Now this is your last show. Then
it is the last
next
show.
Fall.
Yeah, till next fall. So we have enjoyed it, and Todd, you did a great job.
Thank you.
All right,
Bradley, thank you.
Thank you very much.
All right, Mark, it's coming up.
It's kind of amazing that I did.